A peaceful evening turned into a nightmare in the quiet suburbs of Brisbane, in Queensland's northern region. The tranquility was about to be shattered by a shocking incident that would leave the entire community in disbelief. On that fateful day, a 14-year-old boy, fueled by recklessness and a disregard for the safety of others, made a grave choice. He stole a car, a powerful machine that should have been beyond his reach, and began racing it through the populated suburbs at breakneck speeds of up to 150 kilometers per hour. The police, alerted to the unfolding catastrophe, quickly initiated a pursuit. Sirens blaring, they tried to apprehend the young driver who was endangering his own life and the lives of innocent residents. Panic and terror gripped the neighborhood as families watched in horror. The high-speed chase reached its inevitable, devastating conclusion at an intersection where the stolen car lost control and smashed violently into another vehicle. The impact was catastrophic, and the once peaceful streets were transformed into scenes of chaos and tragedy. When the dust and debris settled, a grim silence descended. The 14-year-old driver, the source of all this chaos, emerged unscathed from the wreckage. However, the same could not be said for his three passengers, each of them young souls full of promise. The 13-year-old girl, the 15-year-old boy, and the 11-year-old boy had borne the full force of the impact and were tragically pronounced deceased at the scene. Amid the chaos, as the police moved to apprehend the reckless young driver, his words sent a shiver down the spines of those who heard them. He scoffed at the authorities, declaring, "There is nothing you can do to me. I am only 14 and will be on bail within 2 hours." In the face of the devastating loss of his three passengers, his callousness shocked the community and the law enforcement officers on the scene. It was later revealed that the young driver had a history of car thefts and was already on bail for multiple offenses. The tragedy that unfolded in the suburbs of Brisbane served as a stark reminder of the consequences of recklessness and the importance of accountability, regardless of age. It left a scar on the community, a somber lesson about the fragility of life and the devastating impact of one person's thoughtless actions on an entire community. In the following days, the community would come together to mourn the loss of innocent young lives and demand justice for those taken too soon. Examining this tragic situation more thoroughly involves considering the actions and responsibilities of the teenagers involved, the parents, and the 20-year-old who played a significant role in the car theft. The parents of the teenagers, including the 14-year-old driver, must bear some level of responsibility for their children's actions. Parents must be aware of their children's activities and whereabouts, especially when they involve something as dangerous as stealing a car and engaging in reckless behavior. While teenagers often seek independence, parents are responsible for instilling values and guiding their children in making responsible choices. This tragic event highlights the need for open communication and parental supervision, particularly in situations involving younger teens who may lack the judgment to understand the consequences of their actions thoroughly. The involvement of a 20-year-old in instigating the car theft raises severe concerns about their moral and legal responsibilities. Adults who encourage or facilitate criminal activities involving minors can be held criminally liable in many jurisdictions. Such individuals could be charged with contributing to the delinquency of a minor or other related offenses, depending on the laws in place. Law enforcement must investigate and determine the extent of the 20-year-old's involvement and take appropriate legal action. The tragic consequences of this incident should also serve as a wake-up call for the community. Neighbors, friends, and family must be vigilant and report suspicious or concerning behavior. This tragedy might have been prevented if someone had intervened or reported the teen's intentions beforehand. The legal system should also ensure that the 14-year-old driver faces appropriate consequences for his actions. While age can be a mitigating factor in some cases, it does not absolve individuals of the legal repercussions of their actions, mainly when they result in loss of life. In this multifaceted tragedy, there are multiple layers of responsibility to consider, from the individuals directly involved in the theft and crash, to the parents and even the broader community. It is a stark reminder of the importance of communication, supervision, and accountability at every level, to prevent such devastating events from occurring in the future. The 14-year-old driver was correct. He did have bail arranged by his parents, although not until the next day. So now we have a 14-year-old already out on multiple bail for multiple car thefts, and he is bailed again. The fact that this young offender was released on bail multiple times despite continuing to engage in dangerous criminal behavior is undoubtedly a matter of concern. It raises questions about the legal system's effectiveness in handling such cases. It is essential to consider the various factors involved. The decision to grant bail depends on multiple factors, including the nature of the offense, the individual's criminal history, and the likelihood of them appearing in court. In this case, the judicial system apparently repeatedly allowed the young offender to be released on bail. While bail ensures the accused's appearance in court, it should not compromise public safety. When a minor is released into their parents' custody, the court trusts the parents to provide proper supervision and support to prevent the child from engaging in criminal activities. However, assessing whether the parents are adequately fulfilling this responsibility is essential. While parents are expected to take responsibility for their children's actions, especially when they are minors, charging parents in cases like this can be legally complex. The legal system holds parents accountable when directly involved or grossly negligent in their children's criminal activities. The specifics of each case can vary, and it often requires demonstrating that the parents had knowledge of and actively participated in or negligently allowed the criminal behavior to occur. Cases like these often lead to discussions about potential legal reforms. It may prompt policymakers and legal authorities to reevaluate bail procedures and consider stricter conditions for repeat offenders, especially juveniles involved in serious offenses. Ultimately, the community's safety is a paramount concern. If the legal system repeatedly grants bail to a minor who continues to commit crimes, and if the parents cannot effectively supervise and rehabilitate their child, alternative measures, such as secure detention or rehabilitation programs, may need to be explored. This case underscores the importance of a nuanced and careful approach to handling repeat juvenile offenders and raises questions about whether the existing legal framework adequately protects the community. It may also prompt discussions about the responsibilities of both parents and the legal system in ensuring that young offenders are held accountable for their actions while also being given opportunities for rehabilitation and reform. And once again, this young offender is caught in a stolen car. This time it is with tragic circumstance. The young offender, his two passengers, both 12 years old, and killed in a car crashing into a power pole at 3 a.m. This begs the question again, what are the parents doing? Six lives lost due to the boy being granted bail multiple times into his parents' custody and crashed a car at 3 a.m. If the parents are held responsible after all, he was released into their custody multiple times, there must be some ramification for the parents. Society and communities and getting agitated with the lenient legal system, it seems to be boys will be boys attitude within our justice system. In my opinion, and this is only my opinion, if the crime is classed as an adult crime, the offender should do the adult sentence. Don't keep them under supervision until they are 18, and then unleash them on society once again. And do not seal their juvenile criminal record. Maybe the answer is to transfer them to an adult jail on their 18th birthday. Then, and maybe only then, the youth crime wave here in Queensland might slow down. Imagine just for a fleeting moment, your child is walking across a busy intersection when allowed to do so, and they are mowed down by a reckless 14-year-old criminal on multiple bails in a stolen car. I don't think rehabilitation and reform is the question. Thank you for listening. This podcast was written by Peter Smith and narrated by Brian Smith. We hope you enjoyed listening.